Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our Saturday morning co-host, the Jack and Tom Show on 1320. That is from 8 to 11 here on 1320 and 1320WILS.com, Tom Crawford. Hello, Tom.
How you doing tonight, Jack? I'm out here at very blustery Okemos High School. What a difference a day makes between last night I was at a JV game, it was 85 degrees about 7 o'clock, and now it's, 60 and heading south right now.
Well, you've often said the people in Okemos are full of hot air, but it's cooling off a little bit, right?
Yes, out here with the beautiful people of Okemos. In fact, it's John Lewandowski getting out of the car. I think his eighth-grade son is part of a junior chieftain night tonight, so he's out here with his father and his wife, so great to see him. And he's was giving me the lowdown on what it's like been for Don Treadwell this week as interim head coach.
Well, I just talked with John, and he's trying to get Mohsin Mohammed for us. And don't know whether that's going to happen tomorrow morning or not because of his duties with the Big Ten Network. You know, the Big Ten Network had their series, The Next Level, and started off with Dahani Jones, who is one of the most interesting Big Ten football players I have ever interviewed, kind of a Renaissance man. And then last week, they went to James Laurinaitis, the Ohio State linebacker, and he's the son of a professional wrestler. So you see what a difference that is. And then Mohsin last night was featured and talked about the development and how he had grown coming up from Lansing Waverly in Michigan State and then adopting children from Africa and also starting a preschool in Charlotte, North Carolina. But he did say that, all the guys who play from the ACC and the SEC, they're kind of wusses compared to the guys in the Big Ten, and they like to talk about how tough the Big Ten athletes are. They kind of bond together.
You know, I saw that segment last night. That's the thing that really struck me as well. There was a little camaraderie there between Big Ten guys as far as Mohsin is concerned. That was a really nice piece in what he does for youth and what a community man he is. I was really impressed by that. And obviously proud he's a Lansing guy, so that was great.
You know, sometimes it takes some people longer than others, Tom. They don't all get the message right away. And Mohsin had to grow into that. And, you get opportunities, and then it's up to you what you do with them. Michigan State has a situation right now with Deion Sims. He's been separated from the team, and he's got a lot more problems than that, believe me, with charges in Wayne County Court. But it'll be very interesting to see how all this plays out. Michigan State now a little bit short at the tight end position. And you never know with injuries and attrition. Michigan State started the season with, they thought, four starting tight ends. Now they're down to two, and they're going to be playing a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, that will be interesting. You know, speaking about, you know, guys that you think won't let you down, Braylon Edwards this week with a DWI. You know, I really didn't expect that out of him, the former Michigan standout, you know, as far as guys who get it early and then maybe they fall down later or they have a hard time earlier, and then all of a sudden they go to the top of the ladder as far as a good citizen later on. It's really strange how that happens, but you just, nothing ever surprises me anymore, Jack, based on obviously a former Spartan and a former Wolverine in terms of Jay Vincent and Ramil Robinson and what's happened in the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe it's something about wide receivers, Tom, because Michigan State has had a bunch of them who have gotten in trouble. You know, Mark Ingram, of course, in jail, and Plexico Burress for shooting himself, and Andre Rison, and Charles Rogers, and, you know, you can go through the list. A lot of them have had trouble, and it seems like it's always the wide receivers.
Yeah, really, they're earmarked for that. I don't know, but, anyway, let's focus on some positives tonight out here at Okemos High School. It's a great setting. As I told you, it was a little blustery out here, but it is indeed football weather, and the rain's going to hold off. And
you're going to guarantee that, right?
Yeah, I'm promising you the rain's going to hold up, but I'm not promising you that the fans on here aren't going to get a little chilly because that wind is blowing right out of the northwest, And it's kind of mid-October, late-October weather all of a sudden.
It was warm this afternoon. I was out there for a while, and it has really gotten cold in a hurry. But that is a lot of good high school football, and maybe the best high school football game this weekend is one that we won't see. None of us will see it.
Yeah, you're talking about Saturday with Williamson and Lansing Catholic in a kind of a unique environment where there's portable stands brought in. It's yeah. The old kind of the old practice field, you know, that the Lansing Catholic has used. So that'll be an interesting game and a lot of talent. We talked about it in the last couple of weeks, Jack. A lot of talented teams here in Lansing in the CAAC in all four divisions.
It just seems strange that that is basically a championship game, and for a lot of people, they'll look at it and say, you know, that's nice, but Michigan is playing tomorrow with Bowling Green, Michigan State with Northern Colorado, and Saturday afternoon, maybe until the playoffs at the earliest, is not when you associate high school football.
Right. Well, it's because of that situation. They wanted to have their homecoming game at home, literally on the property, and they don't have any lights, and so that's why that happened. Yeah, it does seem strange. It's unfortunate, I think, because, you know, I think a lot of they're going to miss out on a lot of attendance that would otherwise be there. Although it is going to be sunny tomorrow, it should be a great day, or at least not rain. It might be cloudy, but it's not going to rain, and the next 2 days are going to be great football days, and I'm just really looking forward to this weekend and all 3 days.
Well, there's a lot of exciting action this weekend, and tonight, you say you're out at Okemos. That should be a very interesting game. I saw Okemos play Grand Ledge and really give the Comets all they wanted. We just talked with Matt Bird, but that was a very interesting game for more than three quarters, and Okemos led into the second half. But, you know, last week we saw Okemos get it handed to him by Mason, and Mason might be as strong a team as there is in this area.
Yeah, really going to interesting to see how that Mason game, when they host St. John's, is going to go. And this game is a really important game for both Okemos and East Lansing. They neither of them made the playoffs last year. They both obviously want to make the playoffs this year. They're close together in proximity. And so it should be an interesting game. East Lansing does have a nice good news that Spencer Treadwell is finally going to be back at tailback for the first time in a few games. He's been nursing a bad ankle, so that will be a big plus for them.
Yeah, and I think that St. John's Mason game is a key in CAAC Red. Of course, 3 weeks from tonight, Sexton is visiting Mason, and they defeated Mason last year by 1 point in overtime and created that tie for the title. So Mason's been chomping at the bit for another chance at Sexton, and maybe by then Onijah Miller will be back and healthy and ready to go. But that could be the game of the year in mid-Michigan, October 15th, Sexton at Mason.
Oh, absolutely. That'll be a great night, and that'll be a week before the end of the regular season. And I just think there's going to be a lot of qualifying teams from mid-Michigan, and I think there's going to be some deep penetration into the playoffs in each of the divisions that those teams represent this year. At least I'm hoping for that.
Tom, as we talked before the season, the kids only get one senior year, and you have to enjoy every second of it. Does it seem strange that at halftime tonight, the season is half over?
You know, Jack, it's funny. Tina and I were just talking about that. It really has. Part of it is, guys, it's been a long, you know, we're involved with the youth program. There's a lot of stuff to do. But it is really going way too fast. You had warned me about that a few years ago, and you went through it with Zach. So wait till you get to the high school. It's going to fly by. It certainly has. But we realize that, and we're treasuring every moment and enjoying all, you know, my son and his teammates. So they're out here working hard, and it's Friday Night Lights, and there's no better place to be than right now at Okemos High School for me.
Well, Cody's had a good season, and he's going to remember these Friday nights forever. I know, especially as much as he loves football, he'll be able to tell you every play in 10 years. He'll know what happened on 3rd and 8 and
right.
Who he
I'm
tackled.
Sure they'll get enhanced, too, all those 3rd and 8s when he meets with his teammates for reunions, I'm sure.
What about tomorrow? You've got a game in Ann Arbor. The Michigan defense called into question. Now, obviously, we know the offense is powerful, but Bowling Green instead of UMass, is that an easier challenge or a tougher one?
Well, I think Michigan defense got a wake-up call. I mean, I'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I will say that I think that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen Michigan play defensively in the 5 decades of watching Michigan football. I sincerely believe that. They were just horrific, but I think they're going to take the wake-up call on that and play a lot better tomorrow against Bowling Green and hopefully get some backups on both sides of the ball in there, so because they're going to need that depth, especially on offense, so when you get further into the season. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they'll play very well and then get ready for the Big Ten season the following Saturday down in Bloomington.
You know, people think, well, you guys are on the radio on Saturday morning, and then that's certainly true and have been for a while, but we're also doing some writing, and you wrote a great blog about that this week, Life in Lansing. Can you tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, lifeinlansing.com. I do a weekly blog, you know, kind of the same kind of topic line that we do on Jack and Tom, Michigan football and college football, and enjoying that. And so go out to that, just hit blogs and hit Tom Crawford there. And, you know where I'm coming from. You know my perspective. There's no surprises there, but I get as much critical as I get caught up in the maize and blue colored glasses on that too. You know what that is? Well, sure. A lot of people, and so I was really frustrated. The fact that this football program hasn't played much defense in the last four seasons.
You know, I've had a chance to do some freelance writing for SpartanTailgate.com and columns and a midweek Q&A, and I wrote a couple pieces this week about Mark D'Antonio. After Saturday night, the exciting finish, and then having the minor heart attack. But the thing that everyone wanted to know, Tom, was what Holly Rowe's hair smelled like. Because at the end of the game, I was trying to hear him on the field, and I could barely hear him. And so, of course, I stick my ugly mug in front of the television camera, and it looks like I'm licking her ear or something.
I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to check the tape on that one.
Yeah,
Jack,
I've had a lot of comments about Holly and me. So.
Well, you're an aggressive reporter, so that's a perfect example of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow morning, and I want to bring Scott in for a second. And, Scott, we've got a lot of things going tomorrow morning, some very exciting guests.
Yeah, we have Jamie Morse, former Michigan great, one of the greatest running backs they've ever had. Then Drew Sharp, and then I don't know, Jack, do we have Dan Kilbridge?
We do
from
have
Spartan
Dan Kilbridge is going to be with us, yeah.
He does
and
a great job there.
50-50 chance on Musin, I would say, right now. We are waiting to see if he can get sprung from his Big Ten Network duties during our show. If it was a 3:30 game, I'd feel really good about this, but we're trying to catch up to him in all the pre-production meetings and trying to squeeze out an opportunity, but we have been in communication, so that's a possibility. And then we're going to have our high school Coach of the Week interview, and we'll have our high school roundtable as well. And a lot to talk about. I don't know if you guys saw the video clips of the Ohio University mascot.
I did see that, Jack. That was crazy.
Pummeling Brutus Buckeye. And I said, what is this all about? But apparently, this guy wasn't even an Ohio University student. He just couldn't wait for the chance to jump on Brutus and beat the snot out of him.
Hey, well, that was a good thing. That was the clip of the week as far as I'm concerned. I was all over that.
I thought the funniest part was when you see the Ohio State players coming out of the tunnel, and they like get down on one knee, and I know they want to go and pull this guy off, but I'm sure they've been told, don't ever touch a mascot.
Right,
and so they're
right.
Basically watching this Buckeye nut get bashed. So kind of a crazy deal. But we have a lot to talk about, and we're going to talk more about our Facebook and Twitter possibilities, and we invite everyone to send us their nominations for the three most spectacular finishes in Michigan State history. And you can do that at Facebook, the Jack and Tom Show, and also at Twitter at Jack and Tom 1320. And we'll talk about a couple of those tomorrow morning if we have time. And we're going to be doing a few more things like that, and we have a couple contests in the works. One of them involving the Big Ten Icons show and a couple other things that we'll be doing there as well, Tom. So look forward to that. Can't wait to see you at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I know that you have a big night of football ahead, so we'll let you get back to the stands there at Okemos High School.
Okay, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We will be right back with our final segment. Jack Ebling and Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.